Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You want tickets to go see the Braves? Stay tuned. We'll give you that opportunity between now and 6 o'clock. We got tickets to the Rockies game on Sunday, August 30th at Truist Park. Georgia Lottery gift bag also, guys. Prizes are provided by the Georgia Lottery. Today could be the day. What a performance, Grant, should I say, by Grant Holmes. We're talking to Grant McCauley, who took a no-hitter into the seventh inning. This is a guy that I've questioned, and I've been saying, all right, what are we going to do in this rotation? Smith Sharver, what's the deal? But it starts like this. They go, okay, makes you want to believe that Grant Holmes is going to be a part of this playoff rotation, Grant.
Well, of all the things you need, you do not need me in your playoff rotation. You want to do the rotation for updates on the team and discussions like we do every day? I'm absolutely there for it. I'll be your ace. But, yeah, Grant Holmes has really, I think, been kind of a really weird overall look at what his season has been. And I say that meaning, like, everybody kind of looks at him as maybe being a weak link or a guy that doesn't come out and give you quality. But I'm just looking at this. He's made 25 appearances this year. 24 of those have been starts. He has allowed more than three runs exactly twice, once in Coors Field, and the other time was his last time out when he got knocked around by the Arizona Diamondbacks. But overall, this is a guy that continues to take the ball, go out there. He doesn't give you, I think, the innings that you would like sometimes, and that is a fair complaint, and sure, it's a fair adjustment that the Braves have, you know, tried to make with their rotation or with the bullpen having to pick up some of those innings. But by and large, he's been far more good than bad. And I think that kind of gets lost on days that maybe the Braves don't hit a lot. And it's, you do look at Grant Holmes and you're like, well, there's three runs he gave up. That's cost you the game. But that's a very, very, you know, difficult needle to thread, if you will, for a starting pitcher. But the game like today does remind you that this is a guy that is capable of going out there and giving you a competitive start. You needed that. You certainly need a lot more from the offense. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But between Grant Holmes with six one-hit innings and the bullpen coming in and going nine up, nine down and punching out seven guys, I mean, this was the kind of pitching performance that can end the losing streak, and it's just what the Braves needed.
Yeah, man, stop the bleeding after getting swept up there in Minnesota. General Custer did a hell of a job. We'll give him credit. I think Grant Holmes did it. By the way, what is your repertoire for playing a wiffle ball? You throwing a sinker? What do you got, knuckleball?
I don't know. I mean, I think you can pretty much just make up pitches on the spot. That was kind of the fun of wiffle ball, right?
Right.
I mean, the last one didn't work. Just cover a couple of different spots and see how the ball moves the next time.
We used to play so much wiffle ball in the driveway. Anyway, Grant's with us here, guys. Talk about the Bravos. Austin Riley provides all the RBIs you need. He had knocks in both of them.
Yep. He's continued to make some contributions since the All-Star break that, you know, just continue to show that there are some signs there of him being able to give you a little bit more, obviously, than you were getting. And that's really what you're asking for, right? With some, you know, being able to show some progress and to show that he can, you know, come through in times where you need him. And this was just an example where Austin was the only guy that was able to come through on a day like today. But two was enough, and Austin Riley continues to hit well since the break. So I would say, by and large, if he can continue to just kind of stack good at-bats, good series together, and close this season and get hot at the right time, then the Braves will be happy about how he's finishing things out and not so much dwelling on how the first 3 months of the year went.
Do you think Walt is going to be a little bit more careful with how much he runs out Raisel Iglesias? He was on a 1-2-3 ninth inning today for another save. I'm just curious, do you think that's top of mind for him?
I think it should be, and it's kind of part of the calculus, right? I mean, anytime he said that we have a chance to win a game, I'm going to use our guys, and we're going to try to win that game. And I do understand that. And you saw that in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the offense was not clicking, but he was looking at the opportunity to get his high-leverage guys in there and try to close out a game and keep the game right where it is and hope that they could score the runs to win it. It just doesn't always work out that way. But I think Didier Fuentes has had to throw quite a bit here, especially in the second half. And here lately, Dylan Lee, a lot's been asked of him all season long, and the same thing for Raisel. But maybe this being able to kind of, you know, with no save situations, kind of stay away from him for a minute and allow him to reset a little bit, that could help out. But you'd like to see more save situations and have more difficult decisions to make about when you're using Raisel. And today, he was certainly on his game.
All right, Grant, we've talked about you're going to have ups and downs over the course of the year. The bats went cold up in Minnesota, but now we really get to see, you know, White Sox technically are division leaders. Milwaukee. And I know we've joked around about, do these guys, Tony Gwynn Jr. agrees with me that they've never shown the ability to punch through. I mentioned Danny Ozark's Phillies in the 70s. That's what the Brewers are to me. Just dated myself. But how tough is this going to be? And we're going to get one hell of a pitching battle this weekend.
Yeah, you're definitely going to get it in game one. It's going to be Chris Sale and Jacob Mizorowski. That's exactly what I think, Carl, you were asking about yesterday. Yeah. Are we going to see him? Yep, we're going to see him. And we're going to get the two aces going at each other. And that, I think, will set the tone for this series. I think it will be a lot about the pitching. The Brewers, to me, are a team that, yes, they may have had some October difficulties, but this is a club that knows how to win, has the pitching stacked up, and continues to have one of the best records in all of Major League Baseball. So the path to your postseason fate and not having to play in that wild card is going to run through Milwaukee for three games, and then you're going to come home and have to run through the LA Dodgers. So this is going to be a very, very challenging, you know, 6-7 days for the Atlanta Braves to get through that and see where they are on the other side. But I do think this Brewers team is one that, I mean, again, they may not have won the big one, and it may be a difficulty that they find in October, but they will give you all you could possibly want when it comes to the regular season. The Braves did take a series from them earlier. If they could do it again, that would be very well-timed and have you kind of back on the right footing after that misstep in Minnesota and a series that very much was forgettable for the Braves for a number of reasons.
Miz has 50 more strikeouts than Chris Sale, who's been great this year. What makes him so effective? This is an afternoon game, by the way, tomorrow, late afternoon. What makes him so effective in your opinion, Grant?
I mean, this is an overpowering power pitcher. It's not just a guy that throws hard. This is a guy that he can throw 104, 105 miles an hour. He throws more 100-mile-an-hour pitches in games than some guys throw in their entire career or all season long. And he just continues to overwhelm you with that. And if that doesn't work, he'll go to his secondary stuff and his breaking pitches, which are just absolutely filthy as well. So when you've got that mix and you've got the heat that has just that extra degree, which his certainly does, you're going to be hard to hit, especially when you have the command. And that's what sets him apart, right? It's not just, hey, I throw hard.
Yep.
It's I throw hard, I put it exactly where I want to, and then I can get you to expand your zone and swing and miss more because you're trying to tune up to hit that fastball up in the zone, or really anywhere in the zone he puts it, is going to be hard to hit.
Right.
And then he can change your eye level. And Jacob Mizorowski is on his way, I think, to a Cy Young Award this season.
Not to turn you into Dr. James Andrews or anybody who does these surgeries, but, you know, Skeens' velocity came down. In today's Major League Baseball with the wear and tear, is it still viable for a guy like Mizorowski to keep that at that pace?
Yeah, I don't know. Has anybody done it this side of Nolan Ryan? I'm not sure.
Right.
I mean, Tom Seaver pitched for a long time. Nolan Ryan did, but we're also talking about a bygone era of pitchers, because you're not asking any of these guys to go out there and throw 8 or 9 innings every single time and start 40 games. So this is a different era of baseball than, you know, you grew up on, I grew up on, or even the one we were watching 15 years ago. The complete game has died a death. So it's really max effort for 6 innings, 7 innings, and then turn it over to a bullpen, which is, let me check my notes, yep, max effort for as many pitches as they can throw. And that's just kind of how this game is won these days. So a lot of focus is now on velocity. Clearly, when you've got the kind of repertoire that we just talked about with Mizorowski, it's velocity and then some. But, yeah, I'm fascinated to see how he evolves over time. This was a conversation I had with John Smoltz a couple of years ago when Spencer Strider was at his peak. Smoltz said, yep, I see what he does. I think he's just an absolutely terrific strikeout pitcher. I want to see how he evolves. And as we know, injury, unfortunately, can derail the path of many a promising pitcher. And we'll see what it is for Mizorowski. But as of right now, it's hard to look around and find a better pitcher on planet Earth than that guy when he's got it going.
Left field, just real quick. Platoon, even as we get into the playoffs, that's what it looks like, right? That's what we've been doing. And does that concern you at all? No?
Not really. I think that the biggest thing that I look at with those guys in left field is, you know, with Mike Yastrzemski, he hasn't had the kind of year that you've wanted him to have, I don't think. But on the flip side, I think that Lane Thomas can do a lot of things that could make things better for the Braves by having somebody else who can just give them that righty-lefty matchup. And then it frees up Mauricio Dubon to solve the other problem, which, of course, is shortstop.
Right.
They've got to sort that out. To me, and we talked about that some yesterday, it's, you know, I'm not saying Ha-Sung Kim is the answer, but I'm also not going to sit here and tell you can just keep running Jim Jarvis out there for unlimited at-bats. So I would be interested to see if you stop running Mauricio Dubon out in left field, plug him in at shortstop, maybe what those two guys could do with a little bit more regular at-bats, particularly in the case of Lane Thomas.
Okay. I've asked you about, you know, not that there is friction between the front office and Walt Weiss, but you think Walt Weiss just wants to be over this whole Kim situation?
I don't know that that's the case. I think Walt's a pretty, I think, understanding manager in terms of how hard this game is. I mean, you go look at Walt Weiss and his career. I mean, he's the guy that came up, played for a great team in the Oakland Athletics. He was never the star there. He won the Rookie of the Year in 1988, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of ups and downs in his career, a lot of injuries in his career, a lot of lost time in those seasons. I mean, you'll find Walt hitting 220 some years with very little power, and he wasn't a big stolen base guy either. It was just kind of a glove-first shortstop, but have glove will travel, kind of, because he bounced around. He went to the Marlins. He went to the Rockies. He ended up with the Braves. But, you know, I think he understands the travails of what a major league career is and what injuries can do to you and what lost time can do. And I think with that understanding, you know, in one hand, it helps you manage the person. But if you're managing the team, I think that you kind of have to be a little bit more pragmatic and say, all right, who's giving us the best chance to win? That's the guy I'm going to go with. I think that we've kind of reached that point where you want to give guys as much opportunity as you can. And I'm saying this in the case of Jim Jarvis, but maybe if we're looking at the shortstop spot realistically, it's Mauricio Dubon's job. And if you want to mix in Kim at some point and figure out if there's anything to be had there, then I guess you can. But right now the Braves are so busy trying to win games, I just don't think they can afford to experiment, and that may be what we're seeing with Kim.
That's a good point. Grant, great stuff, man. We'll see what happens. Great pitching matchup tomorrow, and hopefully we can handle business against Milwaukee. It'd be nice to win this series. I think it'd give the Braves fans a lot of confidence against a really good club during this tough stretch. We will talk tomorrow, my friend. Thanks again.
Look forward to it. Thank you. Cool.